Time for Money News with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist with AMP. Good morning to you, Moneybags.
Good morning, Luke. You're well. Moneybags, geez.
Mr. Money Man.
Mr. Money.
Hey, listen, I've got to tell you, I looked at your notes yesterday afternoon and your thoughts on the Australian housing market. It is complicated, isn't it? We were talking earlier in the week about the tent cities that are popping up in every capital city and in regional areas right around Australia. Australia's homelessness appears to me to be getting worse. I don't know the figures, but it seems to be getting worse. And I guess it's all linked to the housing crisis and the rental crisis, isn't it?
Look, that's the basic problem. On my very rough calculations, it's always hard to be precise, we have a shortage. We're heading to a shortage this financial year of about 200,000 dwellings. So in other words, we have 200,000 less homes than we actually need, given the number of people we need to house. Some of those people are showing up in tent cities. Obviously, many are having to share with others, but it is leading to a scramble for property, which has led to excessively high prices and, of course, excessively high rents. So I think it's a major problem. You know, when I was growing up, you and I were growing up, the big problems were inflation and then higher unemployment. If you go into the early 80s. Now I reckon it's this shortage of housing. And of course, over many, many years, we've had lots of people come into the economy. That's been great. But we just haven't supplied enough houses to meet the demand. The issue started, I think, about 20 years ago. That's when the rot started to set in. And it's just gotten worse and worse. And over the last 12 months to September, I think it was, we saw 660,000 people call Australia home. That, of course, you know, along with less population growth, 550,000 were immigrants. But that, of course, meant we had to really build about 260,000 new dwellings to house them. But we only built about 170,000. So we just, every year goes by, we're just adding to this shortfall, which just makes the problems worse. So, look, I'm lucky. I managed to get in when I was younger, when housing was a lot more affordable. But I do feel for a lot of those who can't. These days, and obviously that is putting a lot of pressure on. And I haven't seen the precise stats on how many homeless we have in Australia, but I do understand from the agencies that help those sort of people that the number has been getting worse, certainly not better.
The thing is, we don't have the skills to build the houses that we need, and we keep seeing building companies falling over.
Look, it's totally ridiculous. They're the companies we need. We need them. But of course, they've been struggling with all sorts of issues. Obviously, the rise in interest rates hasn't helped, but, you know, they made quotations to, you know, good firm quotations to Aussie buyers. If you go back 2-3 years ago, suddenly they find the costs have blown out and that's sent them into liquidation. So that just makes the problem a lot worse. Then you've got a shortage of skilled labour, as you say, you know, apprentices and skilled builders and so on. And then material costs have gone through the roof. So all of these things have just slowed it down. But even if you didn't have those things, I don't think that we would have had the capacity in normal times to build the number of houses that we simply need to house our expanding population. And it does require, I think, a serious rethink, both on the demand side, but also on the supply side.
Shane, there's so many aspects to this, and we haven't got enough time this morning. But, I mean, we don't have kids wanting to become apprentices, but we also don't have TAFE teachers. And I had an email from a builder, a tradie, who said, why would I want to drop $150,000 a year and get off tools and stop working and doing what I'm doing now to go and be a TAFE teacher? Why would I want to do that?
Well, it's a logical question. You know, he's doing the numbers there and that makes sense to me. And of course, if you don't have the teachers, you know, we can't train the people to be the tradies that we need. So it's an ongoing problem, but the reality is that we have to look at this quite closely. If we can't supply the number of homes that we need, then we have to slow down the number of people coming into the country. And don't get me wrong, immigration has been fantastic for Australia, and I'm not saying...
But in moderation. I mean...
You just need to do it in moderation.
It has to be in moderation, which is what Dick Smith's been saying to me for a long time now. Shane Oliver is with us. We're looking at finance. I don't know if you're a fan of Guzman Y. Gomez, the Mexican-themed restaurant chain. There's one downstairs here at Triple M Central. And I got to say this, it's always busy. There are always people sitting down and eating, and they're open, it seems to me, to be very late, 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. There is always a great lineup of food couriers waiting to pick up orders. But gee whiz, they're doing well. They have picked up some extra funds through investment money. And from what I understand, they are up. Their valuation is now at $1.73 billion, which is about $200 million more than it raised almost 2 years ago. They're doing okay, aren't they?
They are. Look, this is a relatively new company. I've noticed them, of course, just like you have. Yeah, really good place. Doing really well. They have attracted those investors. Often the case with new companies like that, there's huge costs associated with expansion. And so for initial period, they go through a period where they actually lose money. They make a loss. And I think they are still making a loss at present. But obviously the fact that they've attracted those four fund managers or investors along with those already supporting the company is a good sign. And of course, many companies, you know, think, well, we'll list on the share market. But as we were talking a few weeks back with McGrath.
John McGrath,
you know, it can be attractive to do that, but you've really got to keep your shareholders on side. And if you think it's a bit too early to do that, you're better off going down this private route, which Guzman is doing. And then eventually when your company is on a sounder, much foul sounder basis, and you've done all your expanding and so on, then you list. So what they're going through, I think, is pretty good sign. And obviously they have been expanding in the US. Pretty much an Australian success story, I think.
We did touch yesterday on the new set of rules that have been laid down for our big supermarket retailers, particularly Woolies and Coles, but there are others involved as well. Woolies are saying, hang on a second, how, if you're going to target us, why aren't you targeting people like Bunnings as well? Well, hang on, this shows me how completely out of touch Woolworths is, because you can't eat a hammer.
That's right. And I think the head of Bunnings pointed that out, that you can't have a one-size-fits-all approach, because you might have a situation where it fits no one if you're trying to squeeze everyone into the same set of rules. So that is an issue. I understand, you know, maybe other businesses should have some sort of code of conduct as well. But, of course, it is very different here, because don't forget the focus was initially in the context of the review that sparked these recommendations was a concern that farmers were getting ripped off.
That's right.
And, yes, you're right. You know, you go to the Bunnings on a Saturday morning and they've got the sausage sizzle there, which is all well and good, but I don't, their demand for stuff from farmers is relatively low. Now, there is some issues with plants and things, but you know, it's a different business altogether.
Yeah, I just say, it shows me how out of touch Woolies is. But anyway, but there is a point there.
There certainly
has to be a retail code of conduct, I think, in every aspect. Shane Oliver, very quickly, the markets up about 0.5% yesterday, on the rise a little.
That seems to be the case. You know, we had that dip last week when you and I were on holidays. That probably explained why they went down.
Because you were off the job. You go on the holidays and the whole place falls over.
It seems that way. I had a friend who asked for advance notice of when I go on holidays, because every time I went on holidays, we had plunges in markets. Once I went on a holiday to Samoa with my family. Yeah. This was back in 2008. And by the time I got back, the share market was down something like 25%.
You see, you can't leave the country. The Australian Stock Exchange, it relies on you. But yeah, it was a little rise yesterday. It was on the back of mining, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, iron ore price went up. BHP rose 2%. That was the biggest contributor on the day. But most sectors were up. I think property and a few others were down, but good gains in materials, financials, consumer stocks, and so on. So a nice welcome rise, and that, I think, followed from sort of, you know, neutral reading coming out of the US. So market's reasonably happy there. The other interesting thing is the Aussie dollar's back above 66 cents. Now, only just. It could be bouncing around that as we're talking, but it has gotten back above 66. And the other one, interesting one, of course, is gold just keeps going higher and higher.
Yeah, that's interesting. While people aren't interested in cash, they're interested in gold. Hey, Shane Oliver, always good to talk, always informative. Thank you so much. And I'll see you down at the Mexican.
Sure will. Thanks, Luke. Have a good one.
Adios, amigos.
Take care, Luke.